From the other side of the world, Southeast Asia, the very, very worried side of the world. Well, that's not fair. We're all worried. Manila in the Philippines. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever it may be, wherever you are. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM, the largest program of its size in the world. And the largest program of its size, largest program of its type in the world, I think would be a fair way to put it. And I think we're all at this hour very, very concerned about what has just apparently occurred in North Korea. Let me tell you what I know. And I simply logged on to my usual Associated Press location and was just blown away. There wasn't very much information there. It simply said North Korea says nuclear test successful. North Korea said Monday it's performed its first ever nuclear weapons test. The country's official Korean Central News Agency said the test was performed successfully. There was no radioactive leakage from the site. The nuclear test is a history-changing event that, according to them, brought happiness to our military and people. I'm not sure about the military. What do we know since then? All right. It seems as though South Korea measured something in the magnitude of about 3.5. So there has been a geologic event in an area called Hawardi or something like that in North Korea. It's apparently the area similar to the area where they did the missile tests as well. Now, the USGS in Florida recorded the initial geologic event as a 4.2 magnitude initial reading. So there's quite a bit of difference between 3.5 and 4.2, as you know, on that scale. Based, I think, on the 3.5, American intel sources said if indeed that was a nuclear test, and by the way, U.S. intel is not confirming that it was a nuclear test yet, although I think everybody believes that it was. Based on the 3.5, U.S. intel said they didn't get 400 kilotons that they wanted, 400 plus kilotons they actually wanted. But that was based on the 3.5. And again, USGS in Florida is saying it was 4.2. The South Korean stock market is at this hour plunging. The prospects are many. We have many things to talk about. Whether or not there will, for example, be an arms race. Japan has a great deal of raw nuclear material stored and could begin making a bomb and have one in weeks or, you know, a couple of short months if they want one. And can you blame them? They probably do. This is monstrous news. I don't know whether it meets Ed Dame's prediction or not, but it sure comes pretty damn close if it doesn't do it. Japan has called it a grave threat, as you can imagine. The UN Security Council is going to meet. I got an email from somebody here who said President Bush has always been a man of his word. Always, he said the U.S. would not allow North Korea to have a nuclear weapon. He will not. Look for him to show a fast and painful reaction to North Korea. He does what he says. He doesn't flinch. Not my words, that of an emailer. Robert, I have no idea from where Robert emails. Now, I've made only a very slight change in tonight's program. In the second hour, in the next hour, we are going to have Dr. Doug Beeson here, who is, listen to this, is the Associate Laboratory Director for Los Alamos National Laboratory, responsible for programs tasked with eliminating the global threat of weapons of mass destruction. Now, you don't get a better guest than that coming up in the second hour. Coming up in the first hour, I'm going to steal a guest that Ian Punnett had on last night. His name is Kenneth Sewell. He spent 8 years in the submarine service with classified duties in nuclear engineering technology. 5 of those years were aboard the USS Parse, the most decorated ship in the history of the United States Navy and America's top espionage submarine. According to his best-selling book, Blind Man's Bluff, the Parse reportedly tapped the undersea communication lines of the Soviet Union during the Cold War and retrieved lost Soviet weaponry from the ocean floor. Since leaving the Navy, Mr. Sewell has worked in the defense industry, holding both Department of Defense and Department of Energy security clearances. In researching this book, Mr. Sewell had access to recently declassified intelligence files in the U.S. and Soviet military archives that were opened after 1991, after, among other sources. So we have two guests that are entirely relevant and probably capable of commenting extensively on what has apparently just occurred in North Korea. I think that when the dust, nuclear dust settles, we're going to find out that indeed they have tested a nuclear weapon, something that everybody has feared for a very long time. I think we all understand how absolutely out of its mind the regime in North Korea is. So in a moment, we'll tap the knowledge of Kenneth Sewell. I'm Art Bell. Just one more comment from me before we go to our guest. I think it's reasonable to conclude, and that's all it is a conclusion, that that North Korea did just test a nuclear device. B, that North Korea is not capable of delivering that device across oceans. In other words, their missile test did not go well. And even if they had, I don't think that with the probable size of the device, that we have anything to fear in terms of some missile taking off from North Korea and hitting, you know, the west coast of the United States or anything of that magnitude. However, everybody's got to now understand that if they wanted to, and you've got to remember they're crazy as loons up there, the North Koreans could probably reduce Seoul, South Korea to radioactive dust just about any time they wanted to now. Let's bring in our guest, Kenneth Sewell. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on. First of all, very, 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 very short notice. I understand you were on with Ian Punnett yesterday, so thanks for coming back.
My pleasure.
All right. I don't know where I can tap your knowledge on all of this. I guess you heard what I just had to say. The U.S. intel is saying, well, maybe it wasn't 400 kilotons. Maybe the North Koreans didn't get as much as they wanted. They still can't even really confirm there was a test. What's your feeling? Do you think there has been a test?
Well, it's unfortunate, but this hasn't been unexpected. They've been very close to testing. I think they were waiting for the right moment. Now, I did disagree with one thing you said. Tomorrow morning, we're going to hear the government start their spin, telling us that they're years away from reducing the size and the throw weight of this nuclear weapon to where it gets to a point where it can threaten the closest neighbors of North Korea and the United States. But we're overlooking another aspect of this. In my book, Red Star Rogue, we told the story of how a Russian submarine was commandeered and almost destroyed Pearl Harbor back in 1968. People are forgetting that the second largest submarine fleet in Asia is in North Korea. They have over 48 submarines capable of making it to the United States coast.
And that's right.
Even more capable of threatening Taiwan and South Korea and Japan and Indonesia.
Okay, and those submarines would be more than capable of carrying whatever it is that they've come up with weight-wise, right?
Absolutely. It could be huge. It could be heavy. The sub can handle it, and they could strap it on the deck, drop it in a harbor. They don't even have to be suicide bombers, and they can. They have a delivery method, and none of our allies really has the capability, and I'm not quite sure that we're 100% safe protecting against these threats.
That does add a dimension. I thought perhaps with the size of it, Kenneth, I was thinking, of course, just of missiles, and they can't deliver it that way yet, I'm sure, but as you point out, they've got submarines, and all they'd have to do is get one close, and that's all you have to be with nuclear weapons is close, and that would be that. Kenneth, let me put you in a tough spot. You can just say, I don't want to answer this. If you were the president of the United States right now, and you were getting confirmation that North Korea had just done what they've apparently done, what would you do?
I would basically blockade the entire country. Nothing would go in and out until they decided to open up for major inspections and stop their nuclear program. It's time right now. You have to stop short of an attack because Seoul is so close to the North Korean border, and even the device they have now might, you know, we're looking at the possibility of open warfare and maybe a bomb being delivered by aircraft.
How old are you, Kenneth?
Oh, I'm about 56.
56. Okay, well, you're old enough. I was in the Air Force during the Cuban Missile Crisis, Kenneth, and of course we blockaded Cuba, and there was that instant, more than one instant, where we thought we were at World War III. And of course the blockade worked. Now you're saying you would blockade North Korea. Now the situation is a little bit different. We don't have an island here so much as we did with Cuba, 90 miles off the Florida coast. Blockade North Korea would mean going eye to eye and tooth to tooth with the Chinese. How much risk?
The Chinese are not happy about this either. Neither are the Russians. You know, and you remember back in Korean War, the Chinese actually saved North Korea from total defeat. And it wasn't no more than 16 or 17 years later that North Korea and China were fighting up along their northern border. These people know that Kim is unstable. They know he's unpredictable. And they don't like the idea of him having a bomb because China feels they have a destiny in this sphere of influence in Asia. And they don't want somebody like Kim getting out there and interfering with what they believe is their right. You know, we're talking about, you know, way back in World War II, the communists have always believed that the United States never had the stomach for casualties. They saw it in Vietnam. They looked at what happened when the World Trade Centers were attacked and we lost over 3,000 people and the turmoil that caused. That's probably 3,000 people probably starved to death in North Korea every month, and that's nothing to these people. And now they're looking at Iraq, and the fuss we're making over the casualties there, which the loss of any life of any American serviceman, one is too much, but, you know, these people have no regard for life whatsoever. Now, if they threaten Japan and Taiwan and South Korea, and even if they attack, if we have this threat that they could destroy one of our cities, a Seattle, a San Francisco, a Los Angeles, are we going to retaliate? Are we going to risk millions of American cities for some other country? And I can tell you right now, this is going to open the door for South Korea and Japan and Taiwan to develop their own weapons, because I don't believe they feel they can depend on us in our nuclear umbrella anymore.
Well, with respect to Japan, I guess my comment, and I made it yesterday before all this occurred, it would be, can you blame them? Would you blame them? And if you were a Japanese right now and you had just seen this occur right next to you, what would you do if you had nuclear stockpiles as they have?
Well, you know, they've always had Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the legacy there, but now it's totally different. You have a madman several hundred miles away that is threatening their existence. And Japan, you know, our power in the United States, in the free world, depends on free trade. That's the one thing that the Soviet Union didn't have that led to their downfall, is the fact that their only trading partners were countries like Cuba and Romania and Hungary, and which really was a one-way street and a drain on their economy.
Sure.
It's
sure.
Free trade that keeps us strong. And yet, one of the things we got to watch out for, if Japan and Taiwan and South Korea and the countries of Asia don't feel secure, they're going to become, to use a phrase that Henry Kissinger used to use, Finlandized. They're going to want to become more neutral. And that takes them out of our camp as trading partners and allies.
Okay, Kenneth. Well, whether it's a blockade or any other action that comes from the UN Security Council, the linchpin is going to be China. Now, on the one hand, as you point out, China's probably not real happy that this occurred. But on the other hand, China is largely responsible for it occurring because they have used their veto in the Security Council to prevent any real action up to this point.
Well, you're 100% correct on that, and they're probably rethinking their position right now. China has a lot to lose with North Korea having the bomb, and I think we may start to see a change in their position.
Well, let's try this tack. How crazy How crazy is North Korea? How crazy is Kim? How crazy is that government, really? Are they crazy enough now that they have the bomb to, for example, use it either on Seoul or perhaps Japan, or worse yet, get it, as you point out, in a submarine to the U.S. and try and destroy one of our cities? My God, if they did that, Kenneth, it would be suicidal for them, because, of course, the United States would utterly destroy North Korea. There would be no living things left in North Korea.
I don't think they would attack the United States first. I think they would. They're going to probably throw their weight around. Let's say they did set off a bomb at Busan and destroy a city in North Korea. And then Kim tells the United States, we have a bomb near one of your cities. If you attack us, we attack you.
Yeah.
What does the president do at that point? We don't know. Is he bluffing? Does he really have one there? Did it get through our SOSUS system?
Could it get through our SOSUS system?
Well, you know,
maybe you can. You'd be the right one to answer that. If they had a nuclear weapon in a submarine, and they tried to get it to the coast of the U.S., could they do it?
There's the possibility. They've been doing some modifications to our SOSUS system to detect silent diesel electric submarines, and we have people that have been complaining about some of the distress it's causing whales. And there may be holes. You know, the communists have been probing our systems for decades. We're not 100%, sure. We may not be 100% covered. We don't know what they know or what they don't know. The question comes, right down to, are you willing to take the chance?
Are we as well covered in the extreme northern Pacific, Kenneth, as we should be? And I don't want you to give away anything that's classified.
Well, here's a story that's true. In Seattle, there was a Foxtrot submarine on display. They called it the Cobra. I think it was down by Pier 22. When they brought that submarine over and they were refurbishing it, they found logbooks in the sub in Russian, and they had them translated. And they came to find out that submarine had actually been in the Puget Sound.
Oh, my God.
Now.
So I guess the answer is somewhere along that line, the answer is no.
There you go. If it can sneak, and that was a Foxtrot class submarine. We're not talking about one of their modern nukes. We're talking about a technology that came from World War II. Foxtrot was almost a copy of the German super sub, the Type 21, with modifications. So, as I said, if they could do it with World War II technology, are we really safe?
I guess the answer to that is no. How modern are these submarines that the North Korean... What is the most modern sub the North Koreans now possess? Do you know?
They have Romeos, about 22 or 24 Romeo class, which is about the same technology as the Foxtrots, with a little more limited range. However, on a one-way mission, or with being refueled, they can make it to the U.S. coast. They also have some Whiskey class, which are slightly older, and then they have about another 22 or 24, what they call coastal submarines, with a crew of about 23 or 24 that can threaten the countries throughout Asia.
One of those.
Now, you have to keep in mind, even though these subs are old, they've been constantly upgraded. We're talking about a country who's just developed a nuclear bomb. Now, the technology to build a nuclear bomb is not secret. You can find it in the textbooks in any college. And you have a man who has thrown the resources of his country into developing these missiles and to developing this weapon. And he starved his people in the process.
Right.
And so right there, that's not the act of a sane man.
No, it's not the act of a sane man. And I suppose really what we should be talking about is how insane Kim is. In other words, there's insanity and causing trouble and destabilizing the region and worrying the hell out of your neighbors and even testing a bomb as they have done. And then there's suicidal insanity. Which really means, as you point out, for example, a one-way mission in a submarine with a nuclear device on board to take out a U.S. city. That would be suicidal madness, in my opinion. And are they that crazy?
I don't think he's that crazy. I think he is crazy enough to throw his weight around. I think he's crazy enough to threaten neighbors in the United States. And I also think that one of the problems we have with a lot of our enemies out there is they have a tendency to underestimate the United States. We're very quick to react. Taliban in Afghanistan, I remember reading a report where one of the leaders said our breath was taken away at how fast the United States was there and the attack and how forceful it was. These people are always underestimating us. I am actually just as afraid of this man miscalculating.
Got
and
it.
Basically causing us
Kenneth, hold tight. We're here at the bottom of the hour. North Korea has apparently just detonated a nuclear weapon. I'm Art Bell. Southeast Asia. Asia in the news right now. North Korea apparently has detonated a nuclear device. Now, here's what we know. It probably occurred at about 0136 Greenwich Mean Time. The intended magnitude was about 400 kilotons. Staying in the magnitude category, originally reported as about a 3.5 magnitude seismic event by the South Koreans, but USGS in Florida is reporting 4.2 initial magnitude. It will settle that out eventually. You know, the USGS locations will compare notes, and they'll find depth and do a whole lot of research, which you can be damn sure U.S. Intel is doing right now. U.S. Intel cannot confirm the test, but all indications are that indeed a nuclear device was detonated. North Korea having the a nuclear weapon, of course, is an incredible, just an absolutely awful development. We all knew that it might happen. Well, apparently it has happened. My guest is Kenneth Sewell. He'll comment further about all of this in a moment. Japan, as you might imagine, calling it a grave threat. Kenneth Sewell is my guest. Kenneth has an awful lot of experience on board a U.S. nuclear submarine. Kenneth, welcome back. You said that if you were president, you would immediately begin to blockade North Korea. Now, a couple of things about that. One, North Korea, as you pointed out, is virtually starving to death now. Probably more than 3,000 people a month starve to death in North Korea on a regular basis. This country is desperate. A blockade of North Korea, cutting off virtually the only, with or without the permission of China, and one would imagine it could only occur with the permission of China, but I mean cutting off what little food they do get now from China, wouldn't that possibly push them over the edge and cause them to do something, China or not?
Well, if you remember during the Cuban Missile Crisis, we inspected all the ships going in and out of the island, and we let every ship through that was carrying food or normal commerce.
That's
we could do the same thing here. If the Chinese, now what this does, it bottles up the North Koreans. You know, there's another element to this that we haven't talked about. You know, Kim now has a new weapon to export. You know, we know that terrorists are actively seeking to obtain a nuclear weapon. We know that they've got, I believe they call it a fatwa. They've got a permission from the religious leaders to use the nuclear weapon against the United States. North Korea needs money. They have money. Now, the question is Kim crazy enough to sell a bomb in a submarine to Al-Qaeda? And what if Al-Qaeda used that bomb against a U.S. city? What if they claimed responsibility for the attack? Who would we retaliate against? You know.
All right. Now, I'm not a nuclear expert, Kenneth, but I do think that nuclear weapons have very specific signatures. In other words, if a nuclear weapon went off, for example, in Los Angeles or San Francisco or something, it would not be very long before we knew the origin of the manufacturer. Am I right or wrong?
What they trace is the uranium and where it was mined at. Now,
right.
One of the things that a lot of people never realize is that a lot of Russian nuclear devices had Chinese uranium, and they export this material back and forth. this is not 100% foolproof. We have, you know, where is Iran getting their material from? And could we trace that? Even so, if they retaliate at that point, or if, you know, the nuclear genie would be out of the bottle, mm-hmm. they, you know, we have a lot of highly accurate tactical nuclear weapons. How would the world react if we all of a sudden unleashed 40 or 50 nuclear weapons to take out North Korean and Iranian nuclear sites, and, you know, in a retaliatory strike? It opens up a whole can of worms. If we bottle up Korea, the only way these devices are going to get out, or their submarines are going to get out, well, the subs wouldn't get out because they'd have to go out through sea, but anything would have to go through Russia or would have to go through China, and then that throws the responsibility on them. The ball's now in their court.
And, well, I've got to say, if I was U.S. president and you had advised me of what you just advised me, the number of submarines they have and the fact they could get a nuclear weapon to the west coast of the U.S. or wherever else, I don't think I could not order a blockade or something at least of that magnitude to protect the country, because this guy is nuts.
And Kim will try to break the blockade. He'll send a submarine out, and we should have a Los Angeles-class boat there to put a torpedo in it the minute it leaves a port. We just can't back down on this. We have to bottle this guy up. We have to keep him contained. And as I said, if he wants to export or he wants to get anything out of that country, he's going to have to go through China and Russia, and that puts the blame would then be on them.
And Kenneth, obviously the first, I would imagine, the first attempt will be through the UN Security Council, and we'll see what China does. Hopefully China will now turn around, but if they don't, that would make a blockade almost impossible, wouldn't it?
You know, I was talking to, I was at a dinner, and I was sitting next to one of our congressmen, and we were talking about, I have spent a lot of time in China. I've been there over a dozen times, probably a total of a year and a half. My first time I was in was right after they started to allow American engineers into China. Mm-hmm. And we are basically such an important trading partner to these people.
Oh, I know.
And actually 6 months ago I was in China, and this technician sat down next to me, and he was so excited because he almost had enough money to buy a car. I remember going into China, and all they had were bicycles and were mouse
That's
suits.
Right.
And you go over there today, and the advances in their standard of living are so great. And we hear some of the rhetoric coming from their generals, but I don't think they are going to be willing to sacrifice that. The people like having luxuries. They like having some comfort. And war with the United States or a confrontation with the United States would jeopardize that, because if we don't buy their stuff, who's going to?
For the most part, I agree with you. I was in China just, 3 or 4 weeks ago. I'm very close, about an hour and a half hop over to Hong Kong from here, and then on up into China's no problem. But, Kenneth, I agree with you on the people. I agree with you on the Chinese economy, and all of that is moving in the right direction. But the Chinese government, of course, is a slightly different matter. And while I'm sure they enjoy the economic uptick that's taken place with all the trading, they're still communists.
They're still communists, but the people in the government are more reasonable. The people I worry about are the generals and the admirals and the PLAN. We in the United States have the security of knowing our military is under control of a civilian government. Over there, the lines are kind of fuzzy.
Yeah.
And then we have the Taiwan. What I would be worried about, if they are going to use their cooperation in dealing with North Korea,
a deal on Taiwan,
as leverage, right?
Yeah, that's entirely possible. It's entirely possible. It's entirely possible. And again, putting you in the on the hot spot here, if our president was presented with a deal of that sort, if you were president and the Chinese said, all right, look, we're with you basically on North Korea. We'll help you if you want to do a blockade. We'll live with that. But we want Taiwan and we want you to sit back while we take it. What would you say?
Well, that'd be a tough call. First off, president is going to do what he thinks is best for our country. It may not, you know, history may judge it differently, but, you know, I can only hope he does what's best for our country.
Which, in your opinion, is a blockade right now?
Right now, I think that should be the first thing he orders. I wouldn't even wait. I would start sending the ships over there now as a show of force and transferring the materials and the units over right now. We could, you know, be ready, go to the United Nations. If he gets it, fine. If he doesn't get their approval, start dropping the mines in the harbors and Incheon and Wusan and take the ships and subs and put the blockade in place.
So unilateral action right now.
These things don't happen overnight. It takes time to move ships and materials and men into place, but tomorrow people should be moving.
Kenneth, here's another question for you. What you're talking about is a fairly massive, probably naval Air Force kind of operation to conduct a blockade of that sort. We're stretched a little bit thin right now with what's happening in Iraq and elsewhere in the world. Is it your view, and again, please don't give out anything you ought not give out, but are we strong enough right now to do what you just suggested we should do?
The Iraq war is not a naval war, although we've been hampered by the drawdown of our submarine fleet. We have half the submarines we had probably 20 years ago. However, our boats are fast, they're good, and one of the things about a blockade, especially when you're using submarines, they don't know if they're out there. They can know if there's a frigate or a destroyer or a patrol boat. That'll show up on radar, but it may look clear, and if they try to leave the port, there could be a sub there. And those subs could be there. Well, I can tell you right now, there's some there already. There will be, you know, more within the next week. And it doesn't take that much in the way of the assets. We know when, you know, we can have that entire country covered, and anything it leaves could be targeted by a harpoon missile or intercepted by one of our fast attacks.
You're confident enough in our abilities that if we did have a blockade in place, we could take out any damn thing they put to sea?
Plus, we have choke points. All harbors have entrances going in and out, and mines can basically bottle up a lot of their ports.
Now, any attack on Japan, of course, would be regarded as an attack on the United States, unless something's changed I'm not aware of, correct?
That's they're under our nuclear umbrella, as far as I've been told.
Right. So a nuclear conflict could be initiated in any number of ways. It wouldn't have to be a direct attack on the U.S. An attack on Japan would do the trick. An attack, for that matter, on Seoul, South Korea.
I have heard there's about 40,000 pieces of artillery missile tubes pointed towards Seoul. It's right. So close to the DMZ. If we did blockade, that would be one of the points where they could retaliate at. And if they did, to take out that much firepower, it'd be very tough to do it with conventional weapons.
Okay, we have a lot to talk about. I want to take a couple of calls. We've got a lot of people waiting, obviously. This is such big news. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Art Bell and Kenneth Sewell. Hello.
Thank you, Art. Ken, I'd like to, before I ask my question, I'd like to kind of correct Kenneth. Art, I believe you're absolutely right that the nuclear, a nuclear device carries a very distinct signature. This signature is, not too much to do with the uranium in it, so much as the radioactive isotope mix and the refinement required. So we know reactor to reactor exactly where those bombs are coming from. They know whether ours have come from Savannah River or from out here in the West or where they've come from.
Yeah, I thought that was true. Now we might not have a sample, of course, of what they're producing in North Korea.
Exactly. Okay, my question for Kenneth, and Kenneth's doing a great job. I did work with nuclear weapons and was in the service during the missile crisis that you mentioned earlier, Art. And ICBMs. If Kim had ICBMs, then he'd really be a danger. But right now, he's bottled in already. He's inside a starving country. And he is going to be an expert in Sun Tzu's Art of War, which most of our military people are not, although thank goodness they're now teaching it at the War Academy. Sun Tzu says that that he who says he's going to war will not go to war, while he who says he is not going to war is in fact going to war. I think it's more likely that we'll underestimate what Kim is going to do than he's going to underestimate us. What do you think, Kim?
Well, you know, one of the things that we look at the world, what the United States says isn't believed 100%. And although we can come out and say, gee, this was a North Korean bomb, and they say, no, it wasn't, now we're into this, well, will they believe us or will they not? The thing about Kim is, it's the whether we underestimate him or he underestimates us or whatever, before, several days ago, we didn't have to really worry about this. Now we have to worry about these people, and are they going to make the mistake?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to push, you know, are we going to push them too far? Are they going to push, you know, us too far?
Right.
And we have a lot of posturing. There's a lot of politics in this, and the world's become a very dangerous place overnight, again.
Boy, it certainly has. So in your opinion, if they were to use a nuclear weapon in anger, it would probably not be against the U.S. That would not be their first target. What would you think, Seoul or Japan or what?
You know, I really don't believe they have anything to gain by using it. I think that, you know, there's a great possibility.
Kenneth, a rational person doesn't.
Yes, but there's also a great possibility of accidental detonation. There's a great, they could start patrolling with these weapons. You know, they set a nuclear weapon off, but, you know, controlling it under all the circumstances. You know, we had, I studied this at one time, how many nuclear weapons crashed in airplanes or explosions in missile silos, and we have nuclear weapons that we've never recovered. And some of these weapons came very close to, you know, to making, you know, large messes or actually being detonated. And what happens if this is an accident? What happens if a submarine near Japan detonates? You know, was it intentional? Was it an attack? There's so many, you know, uncertainties involved in this whole thing by letting him parade these weapons around Asia.
Well, there's going to be a lot of revisiting of everything that we've done wrong by sitting on our collective duffs more or less while all of this has been happening, but now it's a fact, and I'm more than a little curious how President Bush is going to react. Do you think it will be something as strong or at least as strong as a blockade? You're pretty sure about that?
I know that's what I would do. Of course, you know, I'm not sitting in the White House, but nothing would leave Korea by sea without us taking a look at it. And if the planes and materials want to go through China, they should have the responsibility of checking that. But we need to keep their Navy buttoned up. We need to keep their, you know, their weapons in that country. And we've got some time. Just because they set off one weapon doesn't mean that they weaponized these devices yet.
Well, I think that before, you would not use the only weapon you had in a test. So the thinking is, I've seen a wide range of estimations, but most people think they've got at least a half dozen, maybe as many as 11 weapons ready to go.
I've read that also. I didn't know that they were that far in advance. You know, if you have the materials, I've read that they had the materials for at least a half dozen or more weapons, but you're going to be refining that design. You don't want to commit to building these weapons when they're the size of Volkswagens. So, as a hope.
Yeah, I started out the hour somewhat comforted by the fact that obviously they cannot get one to the west coast of the U.S. with a missile right now. And then you destroyed that confidence by reporting to me the number of submarines they have. So based on that knowledge, I think you're absolutely right about the blockade choice that our president would have. If he's to protect our country, and that's what he has sworn to do, he would have no choice but to do at the very least a blockade.
And a blockade is passive. We're not dropping bombs. We're not killing North Koreans were inspecting everything that goes in and out of that country.
Well, I'm trying to think how the North Koreans would react to an order to stop for inspection. They've not been good about that kind of thing in the past.
Well, the orders in the Cuban Missile Crisis, I believe, was to shoot away the rudder.
Listen, buddy. Yeah, that's right. That was the first order, shoot away the rudder. Listen, buddy, we're out of time. Kenneth, I can't thank you enough for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
Take care and good night. More from Manila in the Philippines for all of us in a few moments.